Morning. Today's daf and sotah's daf zayin. We are on vav, the very bottom of vav and aleph. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the zechlin shmas liba gabriela bashmuel. Yesterday's daf and sotah's daf vav is dedicated to one halacha, controversial halacha, but one halacha, and that is of Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says that if there are witnesses out there who saw the act of tumah, so the maima is not going to be bodek. The water that normally will test the sota to see what happened in that room when she secluded herself with that man, the man that she was warned not to be with. So Rav Sheshet says that if there are witnesses who saw the event, even though those witnesses never stepped forward and never came forward, and of course they didn't step forward, because if they did, we wouldn't be giving her the water to drink. So if there are witnesses out there, so the water will be ineffective. That's the halacha of Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet said it. First of all, as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, it's pshat in the pasuk, meaning the Torah says the benisra of hinitma ve'ed ein ba, that she secluded herself with a man, she became defiled, and there was no witnesses. So it's the simple pshat in the pasuk, the pshuto shel mikra, as Rashi described it as yesterday, is that if there was a witness who saw it, if there were a pair of witnesses who saw it, so then from this point going forward, we're not gonna the mesota is not gonna have any effectiveness. So that means that according to Rav Sheshet, it's a little bit strange, and the Gemara noted this yesterday, that what's going to happen is you're going to go to the base of Mikdash, you're going to give her the water to drink, and usually it's a test to see whether or not she did or did not commit adultery, because we don't know what happened in that room. And then what's going to happen is that the test will come out as a false negative, meaning she'll walk away, seemingly everything's okay, and meanwhile, she did commit adultery, but there were never witnesses. So that is an oddity. It's strange. The Gemara noted yesterday that, for example, the Tana Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that we'll know the results of the test immediately. Rabbi Shimon says there's no other way to see the test of the Sota. So the Gemara noted yesterday that Rabbi Shimon would have no tolerance for this opinion of Rav Sheshet, meaning Rabbi Shimon the Tana just wouldn't accept this viewpoint of Rav Sheshet. Okay, the Gemara noted that yesterday, but there are other Tanaim who say that the results of the test do not come in immediately. There's the opinion of Rabbi, there's the opinion of the Chachamim, which we're going to see later in the Masechta, but the Gemara noted yesterday already, they're of the opinion that the test results do not come in immediately. Sometimes there's a delay. There could be a delay sometimes even of 3 years. I know that sounds strange. We'll talk more about it later in the Masechta, but there could be a delay in the results. So according to these Tanaim, so Rav Sheshet could work, meaning it could very well be that the test will be ineffective, and that's it. That's the opinion of Rav Sheshet. So what we did after we quoted Rav Sheshet yesterday is we wanted to see whether or not we could prove his case from our Mishnah, or whether we cannot prove his point from our Mishnah. So that's what we did yesterday. Masiv Rav. If we now go to the very bottom of Vav Amidalef, we'll pick it up right where we left off yesterday, where the Gemara is going to continue to try to prove or disprove this halacha of Rav Sheshet. And all this will come to an end at yesterday's daf, meaning we're halfway through yesterday's daf, we need to catch up. And by the very end of yesterday's daf, meaning the very top line of Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara finally will come to some sort of resolution on this matter. So Meitzav Rav, Rav asks the following question. Some have the gear so that it's Rava, but either way. Ve'elu shem nachos nisrafos, and these are where minchosem nisrafos, where the minchos are going to be burnt meaning not going to be brought on the Mizbeach, and as a result of that, they're going to have to just simply be destroyed. Just as a brief introduction, we have not yet spoken about the carbon of a sota. Sota brings a carbon. The carbon is a mincha, and the mincha is an unusual mincha that it comes from barley. Most menachos come from wheat. Very few menachos come from barley. To my recollection, to my knowledge, only two come from barley. One is the sota, the mincha sota, and the other one is the mincha that's offered on the second day of Pesach, what we commonly call the carbon omer. Okay, so, but outside of that, the menachos do not come from barley. It is a tenth of a eifa of barley flour, and under certain circumstances, it cannot be redeemed. It doesn't go out to chulin, and therefore has to be destroyed. And that's what the Bryce is coming to describe. And again, the reason why we're discussing this right now is because once again, we're going to try to prove or disprove Rav Sheshet. So let's see the Bryce inside. We're now in the very top of Avam and Beis. Hamers to Mehani. Okay, so number one, we're in the process, and then finally she admits. She said, "You know what? I did it. You're right. I'm sorry. And she makes an admission. And her admission is somewhere within the process after the mincha already started to be offered. So at that point in time, okay, we close shop. But we close shop, but at the same time, the mincha started to be offered. We'll get more into the details of how it was offered in just a moment. And so therefore, what are we going to do? We're going to have to burn the mincha. Case number two, Shabbalah Eidim Shi Tameya. Witnesses come and said that she's Tameya. Okay, under those circumstances, once again, we're just going to stop the whole process. The also must now, at this point in time, the Gemara is going to stop the Braisa and ask the question, which is a necessary question. When exactly did the witnesses come? So are we talking about where the witnesses come before the process of mincha was offered? Okay, so now let's pause here for just a moment and let's talk about the process of a mincha, of any mincha. A mincha is offered where the Kohen takes his hand, puts it into the flour, and takes a kometz, take a fistful of the mincha. Fistful is really three fingers, not his thumb, not his pinky, but a fistful of the three fingers cupped against his palm, puts it into the flour, takes out that fistful of flour, and that is a kemitza. And what does he do with the kometz, with the fistful of flour? He puts it into another kli sharis. The other kli sharis is mekadesh. Now, with the four avodas that are involved with the offering of a carbon of an animal, so there are, by parallel, four avodas that are done with the mincha. So the kemitza that's done, that's like shechita. And when I take the kometz and I put it into another bowl, that's kabbalas adam. Then when I take that second bowl and bring it to the mizbeach, that's holacha. And then by taking that second bowl of kometz and putting it on top of the mizbeach, that's zrika. So the four avodas that you have by every animal, the parallel four avodas that you have by a carbon mincha. So if we're talking about where it was prior to me taking the kemitza and putting it into the second bowl, so the Gemara says, Ilema mekame detiktosh tepik lechulin. So at this point in time, the mincha is not infused with kedushas aguf, and we know the basic distinction between kedushas aguf versus kedushas damim is that if a carbon is not yet invested with intrinsic kedusha, it's redeemable. So at this point in time, why would I burn the mincha? It's too early in the process. It only has kedushas damim, so we'll redeem it. Or tepuk lechulin, or got lechulin. Ella basa dekadosh. So the Gemara says it must be, excuse me, it must be after I was makdish the mincha. So iamar bishlama mayim boat kenosa ama bas mikdash umekarevi v'chi kadosh mikare shapir kadosh umishum hachim nechos minchas anisrefes. So the Gemara now is going to make its point. So, it was, the witnesses came, when did the witnesses come? After the process of the mincha has already begun. So if it's after the process of the mincha has already begun, so the Gemara says, let's consider. If at this point in time the water will in fact investigate her, meaning the water still has its potency, and it's still testable water, so the Gemara says, so what do you see? So you see at this point in time that at this point in time we would start the mincha process, continue the mincha's process, and offer the mincha. And when invested with kedusha, it was in fact invested with kedusha, and that's why at this point in time the witnesses come and just stop everything, because the mincha is because the witnesses came and told her that she in fact committed adultery. Ella, but okay, again, we started the mincha process, and then a pair of witnesses come. Now, if Rav Sheshis is right, what does that mean? It means at this point in time that the water is not going to have any potency. It means, according to Rav Sheshis, that she in fact was not only mizana, because we have two witnesses said that she was, but there's no purpose in doing the test whatsoever. If there's no purpose in doing the test whatsoever, so the mincha to begin with was never needed. And this is what's called Hekdesh Patos. It's a topic that we discussed just back in Masechta Nazir. We did it again back in Adarim as well. Hekdesh Patos means that I was makdish something but in error. And the halacha falls like Beisil, not like Beishamai, that Hekdesh Patos is not considered Hekdesh. So over here, if Rav Sheshis is right, this is considered Hekdesh Patos. And so that means now, we're not going to burn the mincha. We don't need to burn the mincha, because the mincha never was a mincha. It was never invested with kedusha. We were only makdish because we thought we needed it, but it turns out that we didn't even need it, if Rav Sheshis is right. So Tigla Milsa Lamafreya Dechi Kadosh Meikara B'Taus Kadosh. That's exactly what bothers the Gemara. So that means that this mincha was offered, was to begin with, in a state of mistaken, of a taus, v'tepuk l'chulin. And therefore it should just go l'chulin. That's the Gemara's question. If Rav Sheshis is right. So now at this point in time, the Gemara is, after having learned the Braisa, making the argument that doesn't seem like Rav Sheshis is right. Because the mincha is a mincha. Right now we're stopping the whole process. We're going to destroy the mincha. Destroy the mincha meaning burn it, not in the Mizbeach, but outside the base, outside of the Mizbeach. But it sounds like the mincha, at least, is invested with Kedushas Haguf. So the Gemara now is going to offer a couple of suggestions in defense of Rav Sheshis. The first defense of Rav Sheshis is a little bit scandalous, if you will, a little bit shocking. But the Gemara says, here's what we could suggest. What we could suggest is that the Braisa is talking about a very specific circumstance where when we offer the mincha, when we started the mincha process, there were no witnesses. And then, after the mincha process started, then came along a pair of witnesses. And do you know why they came? Because she committed znus right there and then in the Beis HaMikdash. Admittedly, it's a scandalous answer, but at least we're defending Rav Sheshis now. So the Gemara says, "Maskalar Mishasha v'alo pirchei kohenim alavin oso." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but aren't we careful? Meaning, don't we make assurances that this won't happen? So, for example, we take a pair of kohanim and we pair up with this woman so that this woman is not going to be mizanah." So the Gemara says, "Shivzinsa mipirchei kohen atzman." So the Gemara, just to get a little more scandalous, the Gemara says, "Well, one of the young kohanim who was there to ensure that nothing happened, they're the ones who actually were mizanah together with her." Okay, Gemara, if nothing else, the Gemara just simply speaks about the fact that everybody's human, everybody has the Yetzirah, everyone's fallible, and it's possible, scandalous as it would be, it's possible that one of the Kohanim is going to have relations with her.
What did it say?
Okay, I hear the question. I'm with you. Okay, I'm with you. Okay, Rav Ashi Amar Kegon Shenitzruchol Nekaveha Da'atu Pirchei Kuna Bekipa. So, I'm sorry. Da'atu Pirchei Kuna Bekipa Talila. So the Gemara says, or if that answer was too scandalous for you, so the Gemara says, well, maybe we could suggest that she just went to the bathroom. She had to take care of her knee. She went to the bathroom. The Kohanim are not going to be with her in every single moment of the day. They just can't. They're not expected to go to the bathroom with her. And so when she's in the quote unquote bathroom, so she'll make some time for znus. A pair of witnesses saw the znus. The pair of witnesses step forward. But again, all this is to defend Rav Sheshis, because now it comes out that when we started the mincha process, it was legitimate. Because at that point in time, there weren't witnesses. And according to Rav Sheshis, the water will have its potency. And the whole process is, in fact, a valid process. And it's only somewhere in the interim where she made time for znus right there in the Beis HaMikdash. That's answer number one. That's one defense of Rav Sheshis. Rav Papa Amar La'olam Kidamina Mikara. So Rav Papa says, again, znus in the Beis HaMikdash is one answer. Rav Papa says, let's approach this from a totally different perspective. Again, all this to defend Rav Sheshis. And let's start off by saying that the witnesses saw her commit znus well beforehand. Let's even say it was during the stira, that there were a pair of witnesses, they just never stepped forward. Okay, now, Udika Amar Tepuk L'chulin. So the Gemara says, now what was your question? Your question is, according to Rav Sheshis, there were a pair of witnesses who saw the act of znus, but they never came forward. According to Rav Sheshis, the water has no potency. According to Rav Sheshis, the mincha is offered, but only betaus. And if we discover the taus anywhere along the way, really the mincha should now be just go l'chulin. It's hektish betaus. And the mincha should have no kedusha whatsoever. That was our question. The answer is, you're right, but midrabanan gzeresh emayomru mosiyah miklisharis l'chol. However, let's take a look at the casual observer in the Beis HaMikdash. What is he going to see? The mincha of the sota was placed in a kli sharis. The kemitza was done. The kemitza was put in a second bowl. At that point in time, we know that the kli sharis invest the items that go into it with kedusha sukkuf, with intrinsic sanctity. Now, at that point in time, if the kohanim just simply say, okay, you know what? Over. It's done. Everyone take the mincha out of the bowl, and we're good. So the casual observer is going to say, wow, wasn't that fascinating? We had a mincha go into the klisharis, and it's yotze lechulin, and now it has no sanctity whatsoever. Oh, I guess the klisharis doesn't do anything. So in order to avoid the erroneous conclusion of the casual observer, so the Gemara says, midrabanan, it's going to still be invested with kedusha. Now, obviously, we're not going to offer it on the mizbech. That we can't do. But we'll burn it. We'll burn it as if it's psule mukdashin. Okay. So Ramari says, that answer that you just offered, that's a difficult answer based on the following. We're going to see this Bryce a couple of times in the Masechta. We're going to see it once right now. We'll see it again later on as well. Nitmeis minchasa ashalokisha bekli. If let's say the mincha becomes tamei before it went into the klisharis, harehi kachol menachos v'tipadeh. So therefore, because it hasn't gone to a klisharis yet, it was not invested with kedushas aguf, and it only has kedushas damim, and therefore it's redeemable. That's great. Mishakisha bekli. However, once it goes into the klisharis, harehi kachol menachos v'titzareif. Now it's invested with kedushas aguf, and for whatever reason you can't offer it, so burn it. Good. Kiddush comes v'lo ispik la'akriva ad shemes. Who? Oh, ad shemes shemesa he. Let's say we went further in the mincha, and the kometz was nikdash. Again, the kohen takes his hand, puts it into the bowl of flour, takes a fistful of the flour, and puts it into a second kli. So now it's not only put into a kli shards, but you went on to the next step, and the kohen actually did the kometz, and then one of the family members dies, meaning either the husband or the wife dies. Harei kochola menachos v'tisareif. Okay, so again, we're not going to go any further. There's no need to go any further. The only reason why we're going to go further is to clarify whether or not she was a sota, she wasn't a sota at this point in time. If the husband died or if she died, either way, we don't need to resolve this issue. It's an issue that doesn't need resolution. And therefore, but at the same time, the mincha was already nikdash with kedusha saguf, so therefore you burn the mincha. Kravakamitz v'lo hisbik le'achol shirayim ad shemes, hu ad shemes sahi. Now let's say the kometz was offered. Okay, so basically now, we did everything we needed to do with the mincha. Okay, so harei kechol ha-menachos v'tochal. So now the kohanim can eat the mincha. And even if, at that point in time, either the husband or the wife died, it's fine. What's fine, when I say fine, I mean, you're allowed to eat the mincha. Shal ha-safik ba mitchila kipra sfeika v'halchala. Because at this point in time, the mincha was offered in its mission, right? The mincha had the following objective, is that we're going to find out what happened, and the mincha is there for the purpose of determining what happened. Again, the mincha is not really what the determination is. It's the mesota that's really going to make the determination, but part of the process is the mincha that came along with it, and while the mincha was offered, she was alive, he was alive, so the mincha was done kehilchasa. Therefore, even though after the mincha was offered, one of them died, but everything's fine.
So the process stops?
Meaning, no. Right now we're just talking about the kashrus of the mincha itself. That's the only thing the Gemara is focusing on. And as far as the kashrus of the mincha is concerned, so kipra sfeika v'halcha la. Right? The Gemara uses the word kipra. Kipra over here, Rashi points out, doesn't mean kapara, meaning like atonement. We're not talking atonement. Kipra just simply means mission accomplished. Okay. Ba'ola edim shi tamea minchas anisrafes. Here is why we want this brisa. Because the brisa describes now where, let's say, a pair of witnesses come and said that she, in fact, was Tamea. So what do we do with the mincha? It is burnt. Nimsu Edom Zomimim. Now, what if the Edom turned out to be Edom Zomimim? Which Edom? Rashi points out the Edi Stira. Right? The witnesses who said that she's secluded. The witnesses who basically got us to this point in time. Where now we're in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mesota and the Mincha of the Sota. So those witnesses were turned out to be Edom Zomim. Remember? Gemara Makos? And now second pair of witnesses. Look at the first pair of witnesses and say, wow, how could they say that she secluded herself with that man? Those pair of witnesses were with us. They were with us in another location. And there's a Chiddush HaTorah that we believe the second set of witnesses over the first set of witnesses. So this is what's called Enem Zomimim. So Mincha Sa Chulin. So what happens to the Mincha? The Mincha basically becomes Chulin. Period. Ad Kan Divrei HaBraisa. So why is the Gemara now bothered? Because the Gemara originally said, not originally, but Rav Papa's answer to this whole dilemma of if there are witnesses, what did Rav Papa say? Min HaTorah. Really, everything can revert back to Chulin. It's just that once the Mincha went into the Kli Shavuos, we don't want people to say, hey, you know, it goes into a Kli Shavuos and then, hey, it's a free-for-all. So therefore, once a Karban, or in this case a Mincha, goes into a Kli Shavuos, we keep it with its Kedusha, even though Me'ikar Adina does not have Kedusha, as Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. And meanwhile, how did this Braisa just end off? If that if there are Edim Zomimim, so then, the mincha is yotzei l'chulin. And why should that be? So the Gemara says, very simple answer, Edim zomim kamart, Edim zomim kala islahu. Edim zomim is so unusual. Meaning, how many times are you going to have witnesses of a sota come forward and say, you know, those original witnesses, they are in fact Edim zomim. Because imano isim amakum plani, because they were with us at the time. It's so unusual. Meaning, that will make the front front page of tomorrow morning's paper, and it'll be headlines. And in other words, Kala Isle, the Gemara says the only reason why there's a Gzeirah D'Rabbanan is because people don't know the circumstances. Here, the Gemara assumes people will know the circumstances. Okay, the Gemara spent a lot of time with this halacha of Rav Sheshes, attacking Rav Sheshes, defending Rav Sheshes, and finally some conclusion on this matter. Tan Kevasa D'Rav Sheshes V'Lami Tameh. So a conclusion, although somewhat muted conclusion. We're going to have a Braisa, and the Braisa is going to support Rav Sheshes, but not for Rav Sheshes' reasoning. Rav Sheshes is right, but he's not right. And the Gemara says, "V'lav mitame tahora veloshiyesh la edim b'minidin sayam." I'm sorry. Utahora veloshe shetalsala zechus he veloshe yisuv yidnu ba mezoros bolavana. Okay, so the she is tahora, and not when there are witnesses who are overseas. Tahora, and not because there's any zechuyos. Tahora, and not when the women are sitting by the moonlight, spinning their thread, and basically saying, "Hey, do you know that this woman committed adultery?" Meaning that the Braisa concludes by saying that a pronouncement of tahora is going to mean that this woman's tahora, and we're not going to have to concern ourselves with witnesses being overseas. We're not going to have to concern ourselves that maybe there's some sort of zechus. We're not going to have to concern ourselves with the fact that everybody knows that she committed adultery. Meaning that when there's a pronouncement of tahora, it means that she's tahora. Look at the bottom Tosfos on the Amud. Tahora velo shetalta la zechus, mehacha mashma, tebala mutter ba'la alta. Okay? From this Gemara, it seems like a clear resolution that when there's a pronouncement that this woman is tahora at the end of the process, they can go home together, happily ever after. Okay, that may be an exaggeration, but in other words, you don't have to wait. Tosus goes on to write, "Mutar bala alta v'lo arminan yamti mashal shanim shem zechus taltala." Dim ha yasa ba hechi hava matzina lemikra ba v'nikta v'nizra zera. Okay, so so Tosus says it's very clear from this Gemara that they can go home immediately, even though we spent time yesterday and we're going to spend time a couple weeks from now talking about how there could be a suspension of the test, and it could be that the results of the test are not going to come back for weeks, months, maybe even years. But the halach is once there's a declaration of tahara, they can go back together. Anyway, but the point is that we don't have to worry that there are witnesses who are overseas. Because again, what was Rav Sheshes' point? If there are witnesses overseas, the word is not going to test. So the Bryce over here is saying basically the same thing as Rav Sheshes, but it comes in from a different angle. Meaning Rav Sheshes made the argument that if there are witnesses overseas, so then the word is not going to test. This Bryce kind of does a 180. Because the test came out good, it means that there are no witnesses overseas. But it comes out to the same point, although not exactly from the same perspective.
If it doesn't happen immediately, then there are a lot of problems with the... If she's a Kohen, she's going to keep eating through until that happens.
Right.
Or she's going to have a relationship with the husband and so on. So what about that?
Right. Understood. This particular Braisa is of the opinion that she once there's that declaration of tahara, that's it. We have nothing to worry about. Okay. Right. Veloshi Yisum Vanel Mazaros Melavana. Okay. Rabbi Huda, I'm sorry, Vi Rabbi Shemon. Nihi Devavlo Darish. And oh, by the way, there were three drushas that came out from, there were three different drushas that we just learned out from the word Utahora He. Right? The one is that there were no witnesses who were overseas. Two, that there were no Zechuyos. And three, that women just didn't. It wasn't the known thing that women spoke about, that she committed adultery. And that comes from Utahora He. Tahora is one word, He is the second word, and the additional Vav, Vitahora He, is coming to tell us the third point. Rabbi Shimon, Nehi Devav Lo Darish, So Vaha Ika Yeshla Edim in Medina Zayam Lo Shchicha. So the Gemara says, now, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, so he doesn't darshan the Vav. But and as far as witnesses being overseas, so Rabbi Shimon says lo shchicha, that's just something that it's not a concern. Meaning it's really unlikely that there are witnesses who are overseas who knew about it and meanwhile never made it to the Beis HaMikdash to inform the members of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of yesterday's daf. So again, an entire daf yesterday dedicated to the halacha of Rav Sheshes. Again, Rav Sheshes is of the opinion that if a woman is declared to be a sota, and there were witnesses who saw that she committed the act of adultery, but they never stepped forward, so Rav Sheshes says that the warder does not have the potency and will not have the testing ability. And for the remainder of yesterday's daf, the Gemara tried to prove or disprove whether Rav Sheshes is right, whether we can be medayik Rav Sheshes from our Mishnah, whether the Braisa that we started with on the bottom of Vav Amin Aleph going into Vav Amin Beis is going to be a proof or a disproof for Rav Sheshes. And so really an entire daf yesterday dedicated to this halacha of Rav Sheshes.
Wasn't used in the process?
Yeah.
So you wasted...
We're going to try our best. Try our best to avoid it, and you know, in other words.
Yeah, but how can you claim it if the water is not going to be?
It's not a claim. It's in other words, it's just there are certain criteria which makes the water effective, and Rav Sheshes says that if there are witnesses, the water is just simply going to be ineffective. And you're right. Meaning, and then what's going to happen is that we erase HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in vain, and okay. So, according to Rav Sheshes, yeah, that's right. In other words, witnesses came. Okay. Ketzad Osala. We are now starting the Mishnah on Zayin Amud Aleph, and here we go. A step-by-step description of what exactly is going to happen now that we're in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. I know it's early. We're in the first parak of Sota. Usually we don't get this kind of detail until well into the Masechta. But as you'll see, a good part of our Masechta is not going to deal with the halachas of Sota. So, you'll see what I mean later in the Masechta. So here we go. So number one, Ketzer Osala, Malicha Labezdin, Sheba Osamakom, Umosrin, Loshe, Tamid Chacham. So first of all, right, the assumption is that this could be a woman living anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. So, the husband has given her a warning, issued a warning in front of two witnesses, and also she secluded herself in front of two witnesses. And so now, the local Beis Din is going to make the following determination, and that is, does she have to go to the Beis HaMikdash? Okay? So the local Beis Din is going to do that. And that's exactly what the Mishnah here describes. So, Ketzer Osalam, Molichan LaBeisin Shabbos HaMakam, they bring her to the Beis Din of her locale, and that basin is going to make the determination, do we or do we not go to the Beis HaMikdash? Interesting, the Mishnah doesn't tell us the following. How big a basin is this going to be? Your options are 323 or 71. That's not going to be 71 because 71 is in the Beis in HaGadol. But it's going to be 3 or 23. Now 3 is what we generally judge monetary law with. 23 is what we judge capital law with. Now over here, you could make the argument that this is a capital case. Not necessarily. Right, correct. In other words, we just need to know, do we go to the basin to go through the process of Sota? Now, this could result in a death. So, it's unclear. That's my only simple point. It's unclear what kind of basin we're talking about in terms of the decision to go to Yerushalayim. Okay. Once we go to Yerushalayim, the Mishnah will be very clear. Now, a pair of Talmidei Chachamim is sent with Hashem Yavoh Allah Bederach, because we're afraid that maybe husband and wife will have relations as they go to the Beis HaMikdash. And as we learned earlier in the Masechta, if in fact husband and wife have relations after she is a Sota, so then the water will be ineffective. So, a pair of Talmidei Chachamim are sent together with him. Rabbi Huda Omer Bala Neman Alaha, and Rabbi Huda is of the opinion that no, the husband is in fact believed, and we don't need a pair of witnesses. Treviyu Hatlasa. So the Gemara does some very good math for us. It's simple math, and that's 2 plus 1. 2 plus 1 equals 3. Okay, good. And that what the Gemara means by that is that you have the husband, you have another pair of witnesses, Talmidei Chachamim, so that gives us a total of 3 men. 3 men together with this one woman. And the Gemara says, and so what? Lema Messiah Lala Rav. So this could be a support for Rav Damar, Rav Yehuna Amarav, Loshanu Ala Biyar, Aval Baderech, Adi Ika Shlosha, Shem Yitzarech Echa Mehem Lenekavav, Nimsa Echa Mehem Isyached, Im Ha'erva. The halacha of Rav is as follows. The end of the Gemara in Kedushin, which we will get to at the end of this year. School year. The end of the Gemara Kedushin gives us all the halachas of Yichud. Right? The halachas of Yichud are really localized to about 2 pages of Gemara at the end of Masechta Kedushin. A man and a woman are not to, who are prohibited to one another are not allowed to seclude with one another. That's the Yisr of Yichud. We'll discuss later whether the Yisr of Yichud is an Yisr Daraisa, it's an Yisr Darabanan, or maybe a cross between the two. But anyway, but the halachas of Yichud state as follows. One man is not allowed to seclude himself with 2 women. one woman is allowed to seclude herself together with 2 men. Meaning, 2 men is not yichud. They will ensure that nothing will happen. Okay, 1 woman and 2 men does not equal yichud. However, Rav says that's only be'ir. That's only if they're in the city. But Bederech, if they're traveling on the road, so then 1 woman and 2 men is considered Yichud. That's the opinion of Rav. And the reason why is because when they're traveling on the road, so then, right, the one of them may need to go to the bathroom, leaving the woman and the one man, the remaining man, together alone, and the Eitz HaHara might get the best of them. So therefore, Rav is of the opinion that when they're traveling, you need 1 woman and 3 men. So all the Gemara right now is doing is using the Mishnah as an opportunity to try to prove, hey, you know what? Rav sounds like he's right, based on our Mishnah. Meaning we could support Rav based on our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that you need a total of 3 men in order to escort them from their local town to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara immediately rejects this law. So the Gemara says no. That's not the reason why we have 2 men over here. Not to prevent Yichud. Meaning, look, Rav may or may not be right. Okay, the halach is like Rav. But, in other words, our Mishnah is not necessarily support. It could be that the purposes of these 2 witnesses, these 2 Talmidei Chachamim, is that if in the event that they had relations, they're going to serve as the witnesses. And they're going to then testify to the Beis Din, let's not go forward with this whole process, because They stumbled on the way to the Beis HaMikdash. Talmidei Chachamim in Kulei Amalo Lema Maseya Leila Idich the Rav. Now the Gemara is going to try to use our Mishnah to support another halacha of Rav in the world of Yichud. Our Mishnah says that these 2 men that accompany them have to be Talmidei Chachamim. So the Gemara says, now if they're not Talmidei Chachamim, so then what? Sounds like it would be a problem of Yichud. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Loshanu Alak Shem Aval Prutzim Afilu Asar Nami Lo. Rav says that when 3 men traveling is and 1 woman is not considered Yichud, that's only when those 3 men are kosher, upright, solid citizens. However, if the men in question are Prutzim, if they have a reputation of just simply being just indecent people, so then the issue of Yichud is going to be an issue. In fact, my Sahaya votes you asar b'mita. In fact, the Gemara tells a story, which we're going to hear again in Kiddushin, where there were 10 men who were carrying a coffin with a woman inside. The woman was, quote-unquote, dead. She wasn't dead. And the whole purpose over here was just simply to get her to a secluded area so they can have their way with her. And so you see, the whole point of the Gemara is that when a man is a prutza, so he's going to behave in decent ways, and it doesn't matter, right? Whatever the numbers are, and whatever the safeguard measures are, they're going to behave in decent ways. And so, what the Gemara now would like to suggest is our Mishnah would seem to be a proof that Rav is correct.
Why would they think that Tzrichei Kehuna, one of them can do it, and here you have Talmidei Chachamim that said we're not doing it?
The yesterday's daf, which we just finished today, right, made a suggestion that Pirkei Kohuna may in fact
do it.
Right. Okay. Okay.
They're not upright and righteous.
I mean, no. They are. Okay. Good. It's a good question. I don't know. So lo hachahinu time diyadi liyisruibe. So the Gemara says again, it could be that Rav is right, it could be that Rav is not right. Don't use our Mishnah as a proof for Rav, because why does our Mishnah want Talmidei Chachamim? The Mishnah wants Talmidei Chachamim so they can issue a warning. Warning over here, usually Hasra comes in the form of warning so that they'll be punished. That's not what warning means over here. Rashi says, right, exactly. Rashi says, the Adal Asruebe, Rashi writes, V'lomer lo minatora, kishena yishmenu kema avon, sheba Allah ha-mishenesra Allah, v'ein amayim bo kinesishto. They're there to tell her, hey, look, I understand you're husband and wife, I understand that you're comfortable with one another, but if from this point going forward you have relations with her, the water is going to be ineffective. The whole point that we're going to Yerushalayim right now is to test her with the water. But the water will simply not be a test if the two of you have relations before we get to Yerushalayim. And if they're Talmidei Chachamim, they're going to be listened to. If they're not Talmidei Chachamim, husband may not listen to them. That's the only reason why our Mishnah is insisting on Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, good, but you know, I understand Beis Din can inform them, but you know, as they're traveling, you know, Beis Din's warning is all the way in the past, and you know, okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Baala v'chulei. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Baala Neman Mikav v'chomer. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion in our Mishnah that I don't need the Talmidei Chacham. The husband will know how to behave. So, and Rabbi Yehuda says, and let's make a kavachomer, let's make a logical argument. When a man's wife is a nida, it's an iser kares for him to have relations with his wife when she's a nida. And yet, the husband has ne'manus. While she's a nida, there's no insistence that there be other people there in the house living with them. Of course not. Meaning they'll live together as husband and wife. They won't be together because she's a nida. And we trust the husband. Sota she balav. Now, when one's wife is a sota, she is a lav, which is not as severe as a nida. The prohibition for a man to be with his wife when she's a sota is an iser lav. So now, lo kol shekein, if a husband is believed when his wife is a nida, don't you extend credibility when she's only a lav? That's the argument of Rav Yehuda. V'rabbanan hino senes, and the chachamim will say, I will use that argument just for the opposite. Meaning, if anything, that argument doesn't help you, Rav Yehuda. That argument hurts you. Nida de kares chamirale. When one's wife is in nida, where she's an iser kares, so the husband will say, okay, I'm not going to do anything now. That's an iser kares. But sota de lav lo chamirale v'lo meheman. But when a man's wife is only an iser lav, okay, an iser lav, that's not as bad. Husband could justify to himself, okay. Anyway, we'll get to the base of Mikdash. Okay, good. Go ahead. Yeah. So the husband's not going to be believed. Okay, so the Gemara says that basically, Rav Yehuda, your argument is not a good argument. In fact, it could just work against you. Rav Yehuda mikavachomer ma'isilam. So the Gemara says, now I'm going to show you another braisa where Rav Yehuda is going to arrive at the same conclusion, but not from this kavachomer, but based on psukim. The Gemara quotes the Tanya Bevi Yishis Ishto Ela Koim in the Torah Haish Mevi Ishto. How does the Torah describe it? The husband brings his wife. Min haTorah. The husband brings his wife. Aval Amru Chachamim Moso Shnei Tamid Chachamim Shem Yavo La Bederech. But the Chachamim insisted that there be an escort of two Talmidei Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bala Neman Allah Mi Kavachomer. And Rabbi Yossi uses the Kavachomer. Man, Yidah Sheba Kars Bala Neman Allah Sote Sheba Lav Lo Kol Shekein. So good. So Rabbi Yossi uses the Kavachomer that previously we attributed to Rabbi Yehuda. Amru Lo, Ima Mart Ben Yidah Shekidesh Laheter, Shekein Yesh Laheter, Tama Besota Shein Laheter. To which the Chachamim say to Rabbi Yossi, who is using the Kavachomer, not a good kavachomer. When one's wife is a nida, that's a temporary state of iser. When one wife is a sota, that for the foreseeable future, she's usher. The omer mayim genuvim mimtako. And on top of that, stolen waters are sweeter. Okay, not clear exactly what that means. I'll come back to that in just a moment. Rav Yehuda Omer min haTorah ish mevis ishto lakon shenemar vevish is ishto. And then finally, how does Rav Yehuda end this brisa? The Torah allows a husband to bring his wife to the base of Mikdash unescorted. So what just happened in this brisa? It was Rav Yossi was the one who was using the Kav HaChomer, which the Chachamim ended up not liking. And it's Rav Yehuda who didn't use the Kav HaChomer, but rather Rav Yehuda used the Pasuk. So, Armaluhu Kav HaChomer Breisho Pirchu V'Hadar Armaluhu Kra. Okay, so the Gemara says, that's exactly, the answer is exactly the question. Meaning, in the first Breis of Rav Yehuda used the Kav HaChomer, in the second Breis of Rav Yehuda used the Pasuk. The answer is exactly. Because in the first Breis of Rav Yehuda uses Kav HaChomer, the Chachamim said, that's not a good Kav HaChomer. So then in the second Breis of Rav Yehuda said, you're right. It's not a good Kav excuse me. It's not a good Kav HaChomer. Okay, I have a Pasuk in the Torah. Rav Yehuda Hainu Tanakama, Ika Benai Aval Amro. Now, Rav Yehuda and the Tanakama are saying one and the same thing, right? In other words, the Torah allows a husband to bring his wife unescorted. What's the difference between Rav Yehuda and the Tanakama? Now, as quickly as the Gemara asked the question, the Gemara answered the question, what do you mean, what's the difference? According to the Tanakama, the Chachamim insisted a rabbinic escort. According to Rav Yehuda, no, you don't need the rabbinic escort. You know, the rabbis didn't insist on a rabbinic escort. It's enough. The Torah allows the husband to go by himself. It's enough. So, what exactly did the Braisa add by saying Maim Genuvim Mimtako? Maim Genuvim Mimtako, the idea is that stolen water is sweeter. Okay, the
forbidden fruit is
you're right, the forbidden fruit. So as Tosfos points out over here in the very bottom of the Amud, Omer Maim Genuvi Mitaku Nira. The Haiva Omer Perusha Hachi. It's an explanation, Klomer. My Talibahi Shane Hetali Sura. Chada di Yitzur Tok for Meachi Shane Hetali Sura. As opposed to one's wife who's an Ida, okay. As right now she's Asur, and after time she'll become Mutter. However, when it comes to the Sota, she is going to be, for the foreseeable future, she will be Aser. And you know how the Yetzer Hara works? The Yetzer Hara works that when something is Aser to you, makes it more tempting. That's the difference between one's wife who's an Ida versus the wife who's a Sota. Okay. Tosu says, that's the Pshat in the Gemara. Let's continue. We are on Zayin Amud Aleph. We're now at the next Mishnah. Again, step-by-step process in terms of what is going to happen to this woman as she now is brought to the Beis HaMikdash. So in the previous Mishnah, we talked about the local basin's decision to take her, to send her to Yerushalayim. Rabbinic escort, two Talmid Chachamim are going to escort the two of them so that to make sure that nothing happens between here and Yerushalayim. And now in Yerushalayim, and we're up to the next Mishnah. Hayu Malan Osol Beis in Agadol, they should be Yerushalayim. Excuse me. Bring her to the Beis in Agadol in Yerushalayim. Uma Aiminen Aleha. And fear and intimidation is instilled into her. The basic theme of this Mishnah is, let's try to avoid getting to the point of the Mesota. Let's get an admission. Again, the whole reason why we're here and the whole process over here is just simply to determine what happened in that room. And the Mesota will determine. But if we can avoid that, let's avoid it. And that's the theme of this Mishnah.
So what's the size of the court? What's the size of
Beis HaNagadol? Beis HaNagadol 71. So Shibushalayim Umaymina La Kedek Shamimina Al Eide Nefashos V'Omer La. And here is basically the speech that's going to be given to her. Biti, har beyayin osa, har beyschok osa, har beyalados osa. Right, wine is a wine can be blamed. Frivolity can be blamed. Or can be blamed. Immaturity can be blamed. Meaning, it's not your fault. I mean, it is, but. In other words, but you can admit it and you can pass it off as wine, frivolity, immaturity, harbe, shchenim harayim osin, also, bad neighborhood, immorality. The general conduct of the neighborhood is immoral. You could blame that as well. Ose lishma hagadol shenichta b'kedusha shelo yimacha al hamayim. Please. Well, because the next step is that we're going to take the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to write it on parchment, we're going to take the parchment, we're going to put it in the water, and the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be erased. And let's not get there. Okay. And you say things to her that really shouldn't be heard. Meaning, we're going to say things that are just on the edge of appropriate versus inappropriate, and we're going to do this all so that hopefully she'll admit. If in fact she did it. Now, by the way, keep in mind, there's another. Of course, it's possible that she didn't do anything in the room. Meaning, she secluded herself with a man that she was told not to seclude with. But that's it, and nothing else happened. And of course, if nothing else happened, she'll maintain a position that nothing happened, and the water will prove her right. But if something happened, all this to try to elicit an admission, and we'll say to her things that are on the edge. The chol mishpachas beis avia. Im amra tamei ani, and if she makes an admission that she in fact is tamei, shaveres ksuvasa, the yotza. So the ksuva gets broken, meaning she no longer is able to collect her ksuva because she committed adultery. She admitted she committed adultery, and that's a forfeiture of her ksuva. She goes free. Goes free meaning she gets a get. She'll the im amra. Now, if she's insistent that she is in fact tahara and she did not commit adultery, malan osal shar hamizrach, bring her to the eastern gate, shal pesach shar nikana, to the gate of nikana, shisham mashkin es sotos, that's where sotos are given water to drink, umetarnes yolados, and if there's a woman who just gave birth, I mean, not just, but recently gave birth. So that's where she would go for tahara. And that's where the mitzorah would go in order to receive a tahara. Okay, interesting one. The Mishnah has to point out that it's the same location for a yoles and a mitzorah. I mean, not really relevant to our discussion. And if it's just a question of geographic identification, we kind of know where the Nikonor gate is. Okay, anyway. V'kohen ochez b'begadeha. And again, part of the process of trying to get an admission out of her, Cohen takes her clothing, in nikru nikru, and in nifru nifrumu. If the clothing tears, it tears, and if it shreds, it shreds. Asha megalas liba, a revelation of her chest. Vesoser esara, under her hair. Rav Yehuda omer im haya liba na, lo haya megal tavi, im haya sara na, lo haya soser. Now Rav Yehuda makes a point of, we can call this common sense. If she's attractive, so then don't reveal her chest. If her hair is attractive, don't reveal her hair. Haisa miskasa, Belavanim mechasa b'shchorim. She's wearing white clothing, so put her in black clothing, meaning make her unattractive. Hayala klei zahav v'tach v'katloyos nizamim v'tabos. So she's wearing fine jewelry. Ma'avirin mimena kedela navla. You remove it from her in order to make her unappealing and unattractive. Achrikay mevi chevel mitzri. Take an Egyptian rope. V'kosher lamala medidaha. Tied above her chest so that. Although some of her body is going to be revealed, but not her chest. Now, anyone who wants to see this process may, in fact, see this process, except for her servants. Because they will embolden her. Because by seeing her servants, even if she was guilty, so they're going to basically give her a false sense of courage, and that's something that we do not want. But all other women who want to go see this may see this. In fact, the Mishnah kind of indicates encouraged to see this. The Pasuk says, it's Musar. It's by seeing what's going to happen to this woman who is a sota, other women are going to basically learn a lesson and say to themselves, we're never going to get into this situation. We do not want this happening to us. We start with the Gemara, Minahan Emili. We are in the Gemara in Zayin Amud Beis. From what is the source of this? I'm sorry, let me ask me after. I'm Rabbi Chiya Bargamdam, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanin, Asya Torah Torah. Ksiv hachav asala ha-koin is kol ha-torah. Ksiv hasam, api ha-torah sher yerucham. Alahalam b'shivim ve'achad, afkan b'shivim ve'achad. Okay, it's an interesting halacha. You bring it to the basin of Gadol of 71. Now, in general, a capital case only needs a basin of 23. So without the special drasha, you and I would have said a basin of 23 is all you need. And meanwhile, there's a special drasha that over here, the process of the sota is done in front of 71. Why that should be, I don't know. Meaning, it's a gzeres hakasav. Can I explain the gzeres hakasav? Not right now. Okay, maybe, you know, when I know more, I will. But it's a gzeres hakasav. You need a basin of 71. Uma aymin ala v'chul v'rimino. The Gemara is going to challenge what we learned on the Mishnah based on a brisa. Kederach shem aymin ala shelo tishteh, kach aymin ala shetishteh. Just like we intimidate her not to drink, we will intimidate her to drink. Omrim labiti im barulacha hadavar shetara at imadi al barecha vishasi. If you're sure that nothing happened in the room, go ahead, drink. Lefishe my mamarim domim ela lesam yavesh shemunach al basar chai. You know what it's like? It's like a medicine that you put on a raw wound. And meisha maka mechalchal v'yared. If there's a wound over there, so the dry rub will go into the very raw area, the raw and tender area of the wound, and it'll serve as a remedy. Ein shamaka ein amol klum. And if there's no wound over there, that's fine. So your skin will protect you from the rub. So, but the Gemara's answer, which probably everyone saw coming, lokasha kan kodesh shenimcha kamegillah, kan la'achar shenimcha megillah. The attitudinal change of the basin obviously will turn once the Shem Hashem is placed into the water. Before Shem Hashem is placed into the water, the attitude of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Beis HaNagadol is going to be, if you're guilty, now is the time to admit it. Once the name of Hashem is placed into the water, so now the attitude of the Beis Din is going to be just the opposite. Okay, now drink. Right, now is the time to drink. And don't worry. Meaning, obviously, she may have something to worry about, but the attitude changes with that one important detail. Okay, good. Okay, almost caught up. We'll stop over here tomorrow. What are those edgy things that we're going to be telling her? The Mishnah says you're going to tell her things that she really shouldn't be hearing. Okay, that part of the Mishnah went unexplained. Yes, you know. Okay, good. You read ahead. Okay, so tomorrow we'll talk about those things that she shouldn't be hearing, but we're going to say it anyway.